Welcome to episode 56 of Little Cabin Knits, Speedy Knits and Nimble Fingers. Little Cabin Knits is a bi-weekly podcast all about knitting, mental health, advocacy, my pregnancy journey, and life happenings here in the wilds of Alaska, with a little bit of Huga sprinkled throughout. I'm your host, Emily. I'm a knitter, crafter, mental health therapist, and explorer of my home state of Alaska. This week's episode contains administration, raise a cuppa, on the couch, on the shelf, a time for Huga, and contemplation corner. So sit back with a cuppa of your choice and let's talk about these nimble fingers of mine, shall we? Administration. Well, my friends, you can find me on Instagram and Ravelry as Anders Mill Knits. You can find me on YouTube as Between Knits and Purls. That's my channel there. And you can find all the show notes on my website, betweenknitsandpearls.com. And if you have a question or a comment, or you'd like to talk to me about anything under the sun, you can email me at littlecabinknitsak@gmail.com. Now, pardon me. The Huga Home Swap sign-up is now closed, and I have assigned out all of the partners for this swap, and I want to thank everyone who signed up. So make sure that you're checking your email for your swap partner information, because the packages need to be sent out by March 4th. So that is only a few days away. I think that's next Friday, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. So I'm super excited because this morning I went out and I went and did my swap partner shopping. I actually got two swap partners because we ended up with an odd number of people signed up. So, you know, I kind of was a glutton and took the extra person. And so I got to go and visit some of my favorite local shops here in town that all sell different things and goodies made by local artists and makers and crafters. And I just had a great time this morning. And then, of course, I went to my local yarn shop and got to visit with my old friend Annie, who I hardly ever see anymore, it feels like. And I just had a great time chatting with Annie. And my purpose of going to the yarn shop was obviously to buy a skein of yarn each for my swap partners from a local dyer. Only the problem is that the one local dyer, who's not technically local to us, she's just local as in she lives in Alaska, but she actually lives really far north, about a 9-hour drive north of Anchorage. Anyway, she is no longer wholesaling, and so she's only selling online. And so while I was in the shop, I went online to see if she had anything in her online shop that I could purchase for my swap partners, and she was all sold out. So I ended up with an alternative to that that I hope my swap partners will enjoy. But, you know, sometimes that's just how the dice rolls. Like, we just can't get, or maybe we don't even have local yarn dyers in our area, right? So we do what we can. But boy, howdy, did I have a fun time this morning. And I'm home, and I bought myself a little treat from a local chocolate shop that we have that I visited this morning, and I've been snacking on those, and my dog has been looking at me longingly, and I'm like, absolutely not, you're not getting any of this, it's all for me and my pregnant belly. In other news, I did go on Ravelry this morning to check, as I always do, our group page before I start recording. And I just had such a giggling fit because, our Ravelry group is Between Knits and Purls. And there is a thread there going, and it's entitled, Emily, Do Not Look, all in caps. I couldn't stop giggling. So, of course, you know, I didn't look at the thread, so I have no idea what you guys are doing, but, you know, if any of you want to go and talk to, I'm assuming Stephanie or Farmstead Knits or one of our other multitude of friends of the podcasts started the thread. And so if you want to go see what that's all about, the Ravelry group once again is Between Knits and Purls. So there you go. Also, our project Down Along is going strong, and I'm seeing a lot of people post on Instagram and Ravelry, so keep those FOs going. And I have actually completed my fourth project for the year for the project Down Along that we'll talk about later on in the show. Super excited about. Just remember to be using the hashtag tag ProjectDownAlong2022 on Instagram so you could be entered in to win any of the myriad of prizes that we have, and boy howdy do we have a lot. And I won't name them all this time. I just want to once again thank Alexandria, my very good friend, who is a local designer here in Anchorage, who is also extremely talented. She goes by We You Knits, so that's WEE_EWE_Knits on Instagram. And I think you can even find her on Ravelry under that name, although finding her as Alexandra is an easier thing to do on Ravelry. But anyway, she has donated 8 of her her designs to 8 lucky winners, and they get to choose which of her designs they want out of her Ravelry shop. And if you don't have a Ravelry handle, then she will email you the pattern instead. So either way, whether you have Ravelry or not, you can win this prize by entering into the Project Down Along 2022. All right, so that's everything we have going for administration, and I'm really excited to get talking about all the other things that have been going on in the last few weeks. Raise a cuppa. Well, the last 2 weeks have been, in a word, exhausting, both emotionally and physically, to the point, my friends, that I finally gave in and took yesterday and today, it being Friday, off from work completely. I just couldn't do it. I just needed a break. You know, the past few months have been stressful and yet wonderful at the same time, and an emotional roller coaster, and I really just needed some time for some self-care. Yeah, I think the break started to happen last week when my husband's beloved grandmother Jean passed away very suddenly. Now, she was 96, but she was also the glue to the family. Even though we hadn't been able to visit her in person since COVID started, you know, the house she was living in as in-home caregivers, they did not allow visitors, even if you were vaccinated. And so we talked to her every week, and we were keeping her updated on all of the exciting life happenings. And we would stop by and then leave presents for her. But it just wasn't the same the last 2 years. And at the same time, she was just always so excited. If I wasn't on the phone with Mr. Radio talking to Grandma, then, you know, she was always asking about me and how the baby's doing. And her, you know, Mr. Radio, Jeremy, has a cousin who is due with their third child a month after my little Jimmy Bean is due. And so Grandma really, really wanted to be here this summer to welcome into the world these two new additions, and now she's not, and it's been rather difficult for Mr. Radio and his siblings and his cousins to manage. I think it's a little bit more difficult for Mr. Radio and his siblings because they also lost their mother a little over 8 years ago. She passed away. I don't want to get into, you know, all that was, because that's a pretty private matter. But, you know, it's really difficult when a loved one passes away, and especially one that meant so much to them. Grandma was pretty much a second mom to Mr. Radio and his siblings. She was always at the house. you know, taking care of them and helping out and helping them grow up to be the wonderful people that they are. And so it was with a very heavy heart that we heard of her sudden passing. But we did have a beautiful memorial service for her this week, in which there was no set program, but there was an open casket, and she looked so beautiful. Just so beautiful. And I'm trying not to cry. And we all sat around for two plus hours, honestly, just sharing stories of Grandma. And my favorite one probably had to be of the story where, I guess, when she would drive her car, she would have one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. And so it was always a roller coaster of a jerk, go, kind of a ride when you rode with Grandma. And the reason that one kind of stood out to me the most was because I was, you know, sitting next to my husband holding his hand. And when his cousin brought that memory up, Mr. Radio laughed out loud. And he just was like, I totally forgot about that. That was so funny. And it was just such a beautiful thing to hear such loving laughter in a place of sorrow, that I think that's why that memory stands out to me the most, of that story. So, and there was a lot of things like that. You know, Mr. Radio's aunt, his grandmother's daughter, was there, and she told us stories of growing up with her sister, Mr. Radio's mom, and what it was like to have Grandma Jean as a mom, and told some backstories of the family history that I'd never heard. And it felt a little bit as if some of it was news to quite a few people in the room. So I was really grateful to be a part of that. And afterwards, Mr. Radio, his siblings, and then myself and my sort of sister-in-law, we all went over to a local burger joint called Burger Jim's, and because that was Grandma's favorite burger place. And so we had a rather quick lunch there, because Mr. Radio's sister had only about an hour left before she had to race back to the airport for her flight back down to the lower 48. But we filled every single moment with as much love as we could, and we had a great time. There was still a lot of tears, but it was really good. And at the same time, when all of that was over, Mr. Radio and I came home, and we had to just take a nap. We were just so emotionally drained. And it got me thinking about, you know, my grandparents' funerals that I'd been to, and I really preferred Grandma's funeral, because at each of my grandparents' funeral, there was always a formal schedule, if you will, or production, where people were talking, there was musical numbers, and every single time that they passed, that I was at one of these, I was either giving a talk or I was giving a musical performance. And so it wasn't even as if I got to really focus on my grandparents passing away, because I was always so nervous about what I would say or sing, right? And in front of so many people. So I have to say, I loved every moment of this experience, because it was so different from everything that I'd experienced before in my life as far as the funeral service goes. And it was so calming and healing to be a part of. And I also just want to say that I feel extremely blessed. You know, my first husband was estranged from his family, and he had his son, so my stepson, that we saw maybe twice a year, but that was it. And I was so far away from my family, I hardly ever saw my family either. And now here I am, married to a wonderful man who's extremely close with his siblings and his father and stepmother and his extended family. And we see them a lot. And I get to see my family a lot. And we share these things now. I just feel so blessed to see them as often as we do, which is not as often as we'd like, obviously because of COVID once again, and we're isolating quite stringently here in this household because of, even though we're vaccinated, we still want to be super careful not to get exposed to COVID because of the baby, obviously, right? And in other news, we've begun remodeling the master bedroom, formerly my office and our storage room, and transforming it back into the master bedroom. So we painted the walls a light blue, but it's also a very calming blue. It's very beautiful. We painted the doors and the moldings a bright white. Before we painted, we patched up all the walls from the cracks from all of everything that happened with the earthquake back in 2018. We tore up the carpet, spent an entire day scraping up the subfloor, clean of staples and junk. And then we had a very frustrating three-day saga of getting our floors level again to put in our vinyl wood flooring that we'd purchased. And I don't know if I was naive or what, but I thought because we got our foundation fixed and our floors feel more level as I'm walking across our tiny space, I think I just assumed that our floors were level. But once we got into it and we were taking all the measurements and the leveling tools to everything, we discovered that our floors are very wonky. And it took 3 days worth of going over things again and again and again with leveling compound to make our floors as level as we can. We're pretty darn happy with just that one room, getting those that floor level to put in the vinyl wood flooring. And so that's been Mr. Radio's job, is doing that leveling part and putting in the wood flooring. I'm actually having a really hard time bending over these days, and so I can't really bend over to help him with the wood flooring, and we also don't want me doing the strong, fast movements that it takes to put in the vinyl flooring. But we have been blessed because we've been helped out by one of Mr. Radio's good friends and another radio host whose name on air is Beatnik. And so that's what everyone calls him. We just all call him Beatnik. In fact, I know his first name, but I literally can't think of it at the moment. Well, Beatnik has a passion for remodeling, and he's remodeled a couple places now, and he's currently remodeling the duplex that he owns and is living in with his wife. And to say that he's a self-learned expert in the field is very much an understatement. So he's been simply invaluable in the flooring process because even though, you know, like I said, our foundation was fixed, the whole warped floor situation really had us stumped and frustrated until he came in and helped us with that. Now, Mr. Radio's about 3/4 of the way done now with putting in the vinyl flooring, but it has been slow going as he keeps getting hurt. His poor hands, they're just all torn up, and the flooring honestly just keeps breaking because we thought we bought really good flooring, but it turns out, and it wasn't cheap either, but it turns out it's pretty darn thin flooring and very brittle, and so the slightest movement wrong and you can break whatever panel you're working on, and so it's taking a long time for that. And Mr. Radio's gotten to the point where he's just like, nope, we're just going to do this room in this flooring and we're going to take everything else back and we'll get different, better flooring for the rest of the house. So it's been a slow process because he's just like, I'm refusing to break any more of these panels, and it just takes a long, determined, and slow process to get one panel in. So it's kind of been like a nightmare, if you will. Now, speaking of Mr. Radio, we have some news. Mr. Radio is leaving the radio business for now. He has been contemplating this move for the last year as things have been not the greatest at his radio station. You know, radio hosts, they don't just wear one hat. they do multiple jobs. So, for instance, today my husband is doing Time Saver traffic, the news, and his regular time slot on the radio, and that's honestly pretty typical these days for what a radio personality has to do. And it's very exhausting, and they get very little time off. And like Mr. Radio, he's very lucky if he gets one day a week off and without having to go in to do something. And it doesn't pay well at all, you know, at all. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying that. So you really get into the radio business for the love of radio, not to make it big or to have luxurious items and you know, expensive cars. You know, you do it because you love it. And that's been fine for Mr. Radio for the past 20 years. He's been great with it. However, now that we have a growing family, he felt like it was time to move to a more stable job, one that has weekends off and that he's able to get us better health benefits for the whole family. And so he accepted a job with our municipality. And just so you guys know, a municipality is different from a city. So we always call it the Muni. A municipality is more like a geographical area of government than it is a city. So technically, in our municipality, we have Anchorage, Eagle River, and Girdwood. And I could probably add in a few other places that might kind of argue that they're their own little cities. Alaska is very different from how the lower 48 government structures are. We don't have, oh my goodness, what are those called? Counties. We have boroughs. And so, like, for instance, I live in the Matsu borough. And so then we have municipalities rather than cities, and we also have villages. And so we have a lot of different government agencies within these. Like, we have village governments, we have municipality governments, we have in Native Alaska governments or tribal sovereignties. We have bureau governments, we have state government as well. So there's all kinds of things, and it's, you know, a little bit different than the lower 48. And so Mr. Radio accepted a job with the municipality, and he'll be starting that on Monday. So today is his last official day at his Monday through Friday radio slot, and tomorrow will be his last day for his weekend slot, and he'll get Sunday off, and then he'll be back at work with his new job on Monday. So he was asking me yesterday, are you still going to call me Mr. Radio? Because I posted something on social media with calling him Mr. Radio. And I said, of course, you'll always be Mr. Radio to me. And it was kind of funny because I was in my yarn shop, like I mentioned this morning, and Annie, the owner of Far North, she mentioned that she was listening to Mr. Radio on her way home from work last night, and she caught him announcing that he was leaving the radio business. And so she asked me too. She's like, well, are you still going to call him Mr. Radio? And I was just like, yes, everybody's asking me that. She goes, well, you could call him formally Mr. Radio, or you could call him Mr. Muni. So, you know, and then he's working for the wastewater department. So Mr. Radio says you can call me Mr. Wastewater. Which is kind of apropos because he does waste a lot of water. I'm always getting on him about that. But I kind of thought maybe I'd put it to everybody else. What would you guys want him to be called? Mr. Radio? Continuing to call him that? I mean, my uncle, for instance, doesn't even know his Mr. Radio's first name because, you know, the last time I saw my Uncle Dave, he was like, you always call him Mr. Radio everywhere. So I mean... what is his first name? I don't want to embarrass myself when I go over and talk to him. So I had to tell Uncle Dave his name's Jeremy. He goes, I know this. It's just you never call him that. So, yeah. So it's even a family thing, right? And then, of course, you know, we've had a lot of family worry going on about our family over in the Ukraine. My brother-in-law reported to us this week that his family is really nervous. I haven't heard that they've entered into one of the bomb shelters yet, but they're not getting very much rest because they're kept awake by a lot of bombing sounds from around the city. And so, you know, we've been keeping close tabs on that conflict, and you know, people, we've been talking in the family about, you think Putin will back down with all these sanctions that are being put out by NATO and by all these different governments, including Australia now, and then of course by the US government, and my opinion is no. Putin is just, he wants what he wants, and he is what I would term a classic narcissist. He thinks that nothing can stop him, and that he has this ideology of a united Russian empire that is independent from the rest of the world, and he's not going to let anything stop him. What is kind of encouraging, I will say, is that there are many Russian citizens that were either born in the Ukraine or have family in the Ukraine, and so they're up in arms against this as well. And so Putin has taken a very different tact than he has, say, to like the Syrian conflict and things, where, you know, he just went in and just bombed entire cities and he didn't care that innocent people were dead or dying. And he's taken a very different tact to that, but it doesn't mean that people aren't either getting hurt or going to be hurt. And so we're still very concerned about our family, and so, you know, keeping the Ukrainians in your prayers would be much appreciated. And so with all of this going on, Wednesday afternoon I was working, and I haven't even touched on work. Like, work has been insane. Like, my workload has gone up triple fold, I want to say. I've been working extremely long hours, and I've been teaching an incredible amount. On average, I've been teaching about 12 hours in person a week, but that doesn't count all the time that I spend in the background, either getting the curriculum ready or making sure everything is just organized for everything. And it's astounding to me what goes into all of this. Making sure that all the certifications are properly recorded for both our agency and the national agencies. And then, of course, I've got my regular jobs on top of all of that, too. So it's been a lot. And so Wednesday afternoon, I just hit a wall. I was staring at my computer and I was just crying. And I just said, nope, I'm not going to put myself through this anymore. Not that I'm quitting or anything, because I absolutely love my job. And it wasn't just my job. You know, the past 5 months have been both wonderful and stressful and an emotional roller coaster. You know, we had the emergency with our dog the week before Christmas, and then on Christmas Eve my father had that heart attack, which precipitated him having 3 emergency heart surgeries, all during Christmas and a few days after. Then the loss of a cousin to a tragic and violent end here in town. Jeremy losing his grandmother. Add in the changes my body's been through in the last 5 months of being pregnant, the house being remodeled, and it now being all in upheaval, and now Mr. Radio's career change. I was just staring at my computer and I was crying. I was just like, I just have to take a break. And I've been trying not to take any PTO because I want to save it all up so that I can have it for when the baby comes. But I decided I just had to take 2 days. So that's what I've done. And with that in mind, I also decided not to include my segment on personal skill set this week, even though there's a couple things on my mind that I'd been strongly, you know, trying to figure out which one would be the most apropos to talk about. But, you know, putting together personal skill set, when we talk about mental health advocacy and awareness, That takes an inordinate amount of time for me to do. On average, it takes about 6 hours for me to put that little segment together. And so I just decided that for my own self-care, I was going to leave that segment out this week for this episode. But rest assured, there's plenty for us to talk about because boy howdy have I had nimble fingers. So I think that will lead us straight into on the couch and on the shelf. On the couch. You know, I thought about this. I do want to put a precursor in right here or a disclaimer. If there's probably a lot of background noise going on because we're having one of our false springs going on here in Alaska right now. Everything's melting. It looks super ugly outside. And that means that our sump pump in our crawl space is working overtime. And so it goes off like every 5 minutes or less. And I'm used to the noise, so it does. And I'm used to the like the how it vibrates my floor, so I don't even notice it. But I did notice that when I was listening back just now, that you could hear it a little bit in the background as I was recording, and so I pre-apologize for that. And then also, my neighbors have a beautiful, wonderful, sweet dog, but whenever they leave him home, he cries nonstop. And he has been crying a lot the last few minutes. So if you hear any whining in the background, that's from my neighbor's dog, not from Watson, because Watson is actually snoring, cuddled up next to me on the couch here. So on the couch, I really only have one project that's on the go at the moment. Okay, so here's that sump pump. I don't know if you can hear it. All of a sudden, I'm super aware of it. But like I said, right now I just have one project on the go, and but I have a lot of finished objects, so we'll talk about that. However, though, I did want to talk about my list that I have set for myself of things that I want to knit up. And then, of course, Mr. Radio today, he drops another bombshell on me saying, "Oh, maybe we should also make him, or you should, honestly, is what he was saying, make him some of these because our friend's new baby, the one that I knit the blanket for last fall, she just sent me a picture and Celeste has the baby has little mittens on. So maybe you should knit up little Jimmy some mittens as well." And I was just like, oh boy, more stuff. Because you'll understand. Here's my list of things that I either have knit, currently am knitting on, or plan to have knit by the time baby Jimmy is born in June. All right, so the jelly roll blanket, which is approximately 50% done, according to my estimation. I could be a little bit more done, you know, but according to what I'm thinking. The Anchors onesie, a romper, the sweater kit that I got from Wool and Honey, which is called the Little Sprite Sweater. The blanket kit, again from Wool and Honey, for the Ziggy baby blanket. A toy bear, either crocheted or knit. I'm undecided on that. A crib mobile, probably crocheted. Three hats for newborn, and three hats for months 3 through 6. Six pair of newborn socks. Four diaper covers. Four bibs. A washcloth, a sleep sack, which I completed back in 2021, and the mousse, which I completed in January of 2022. Or did I complete it in February this month? I think I completed it in February. Ooh, I gotta fix that. That's right, because I was finishing it the day that we had the opening ceremonies for the Olympics. So all that is what I have on the go. I mean, on my to-do list. Or, okay, it's not technically my to-do list because some of them are done or some of them are in the works. So it's the combination of things that I want to have done by the time he's born. And the one project that I currently have on the needles is the Ziggy blanket by Wool and Honey. Now, as far as I can tell, this pattern is not found on Ravelry. But it's pretty much the exact same as the pattern that I knit for my girlfriend for her baby, the baby I just mentioned, back in October. And that one's called the Chevron Baby Blanket, and it is a free pattern on Ravelry to get. And so you can just use that one. But I did buy this kit from Wool & Honey when they were having their customer appreciation sale earlier in January. And it took them a long time to get that out to me, but I did get it, I think it was the day after Valentine's, I think. And so I got a couple things in that order. Now, the blanket is knit with Big Bad Wool Company, or yarn, in the Weepacka base. And I've never worked with this yarn before, but let me tell you, it is so soft and luxurious. I mean, my goodness. The makeup content is 50% fine washable wool and 50% baby alpaca. And each skein only has 95 yards. So the kit came with 8 colorways. So it's kind of like, I don't know if you want to call it a gradient kit or a gradient / stripey kit, but this is how the colors go. The first color is mustard. Then comes leaf, which is kind of a, oh my goodness, it's hard for me to describe this green. I would call it more of a new leaf green than a regular leaf. Then we get into minty, which is like minty fresh color, kind of a bluey green. Then comes raw white, so that's undyed skein. Then is ashes, which is kind of a grayish blue. Then the color water, which is a light blue, pretty much the same color as the walls I just painted in my master bedroom. Then there's wink, which is a more vibrant blue. And finally, Great Lakes, which is a deeper blue that I would probably lean more towards calling it a bluish, a blue purple colorway. And so far I have knit the mustard colorway, and when I finished that section, I had about 4 yards left over of yarn. So I'm keeping all of that yarn left over that I have from each of the skeins, and I'm going to make a magic cake, and I'm going to try and make him a hat out of all the colors from this baby blanket as well. But I'm currently working on the leaf colorway, and it has been really fun. The blanket is super easy. I think because, like I said, I pretty much just knit this pattern for my friend back in October. And so I already have it memorized. I don't need to look at the pattern. It's honestly just a 2-row repeat for ever and ever and ever. So it's super easy. But like I said, if you want this pattern, just look up the Chevron Baby Blanket on Ravelry and you can knit it. You don't need to go to Wool & Honey for the pattern itself. But that is on the couch. On the shelf. Well, on the shelf this week is pretty darn major, if I do say so myself. I have a total of 8 projects completed, 6 of which I've never spoken of before on the show, and that is because I cast them all on and completed them all in just the past 2 weeks. Why? Because, like I said, I've just kind of been hitting the wall as far as what I can manage, and I take a lot of solace in my knitting, and right now that has proven to be triply so, I think, and it's all I want to do is knit and maybe put on either an audiobook, a podcast, or a fun TV show or movie that I've seen a million times and just let my mind drift, you know? And so that's been bringing me a lot of comfort. So, what are these 8 projects? Well, the first one is my latest finished object for the Project Down Along 2022, and that is the Socks for Sister-in-Law. I know, quite an original name. that I knit using online sock yarn in the 6-ply or the DK weight in the colorway 01001, which is a beautiful pink and peach kind of stripe, almost Fair Isle-y, mock Fair Isle looking, very much like the Andy and Carlos colorways you get from other companies. But I designed this all by myself, my little noggin and myself, and I started this project back in March of 2021, but I set it aside because it was really hurting my hands to knit on, because I knit these socks in DK weight, but on size 1 needles. And add to that, for the heels and the toes, I added in a strand of lace mohair to go with that, so that didn't really seem to make a difference as far as hurting my hands or not, but, you know, there were those aspects. And I'm not publishing this as a pattern in any way, but if you want to knit this up, which I've had quite a few people request it, I have my notes up on my Ravelry project page, which again is called Socks for Sister-in-Law. It's also linked in my show notes on betweenknitsandpearls.com. And it's just a combination of different ribbing. So I did 1x1 rib for the cuff, and then 2x2 rib for the leg. For the heel flap, I did 2x2 rib with the online sock yarn and the, or no, online DK weight plus the mohair held double. And then, of course, I turned the heel, still holding the mohair lace with the DK weight yarn. And then I dropped the mohair lace as I was doing the gusset. And then the top of the foot is knit in 2x2 rib. And then we just keep knitting until you get to your desired length. And when you get to the toe, I did a pretty fast toe decrease because it is in DK weight yarn, and I was holding the lace mohair with it at this point as well. So I did a decrease round and then one rest round of knitting until I got to, I think it was 10 stitches left on the needles, and then I Kitchenered it closed, still holding the mohair and the DK weight yarn double for the Kitchenering. And I gave this to my sister-in-law at the lunch we had for her after the memorial service. And the whole family was just oohing and aahing over them, to the point that I was actually feeling rather embarrassed. But it was really nice to see how gratified they were. But I also, you know, I wanted to, my original reason for making these for my sister-in-law last year was just that she has a farm, which I always call it the farm. I don't know what my sister-in-law calls it, but she has been rescuing mules, donkeys, and horses that otherwise would be put down or sent to the glue factory, and that is a thing, in fact, for quite a few years now, and she does it all out of just love and adoration of these animals. She gets no subsidies, she gets no help from anybody else, no donations, no nothing. And so she does this all herself. On top of that, she is a border agent, and so she works very long hours, and so does her husband, who I absolutely adore as well. And so I, at the time, I wanted to knit these for her so that she could wear them around the farm while she was doing work, especially in the soppy, cold, freezing winter months. But then it was hurting my hands so much that I put them aside. And then this tragedy happened with Grandma, and we found out that my sister-in-law was coming up for the memorial service. And at that point, I was just like, well, she's not going home without this. Oh, and I forgot to mention, she also lost her beloved horse that was a retired racehorse, and boy howdy, they broke this horse. Not my sister-in-law, but the racing industry. This horse was in such bad shape physically, but lived an extremely long time because of my sister-in-law's care. And the horse passed away a couple weeks back, and she was very heartbroken about that. And then, of course, Grandma dying. So I wanted her to be able to take home some comfort when she left us after her short visit here. So I knit up this pair of socks for her, and she just absolutely loved it. And that is my fourth finished object for all my from my Languishing Whips pile from for the project Down Along 2022, and I'm quite proud of myself on that. It feels really good to be getting these things off the needles and done. You know, I oftentimes forget just how good it feels to finish a project. But this week in particular, it's really been brought back to me because I've had so many FOs this week. It's been amazing. And because normally I normally don't even know if I'm a project knitter or a process knitter. I tell myself that I'm more of a process knitter because I have so many current whips. But then there's times like this where I finish so many projects that I'm just like, maybe I'm a project knitter, because boy howdy, this feels super good to do. So, I don't know. But the next set that I finished was three hats that I knit on my Centro knitting machine. And I had some leftover yarn from the sister-in-law socks, and I wanted her to have a hat as well, so I made her a double thick hat, or a double layered hat, if you will, with my knitting machine. I didn't have enough yarn left over to knit the entire double thick hat out of her leftovers, so I did use some contrasting yarn for the brim in the Loops and Threads Flex base in colorway 27, which is blue lapis. And to tell the truth, I'm not really happy with the finished project, but it does look cute when you put it on. It just doesn't look cute when it's laying on the carpet. So, just saying. So I just need to get a picture of my sister-in-law wearing it, and then I'll put it up and on my Ravelry project page, and that'll make me feel a whole lot better. Now, I did have a lot of trouble getting my Centro knitting machine to work right. It kept on sticking, jamming, all kinds of things were going on. And I had a lot of failed projects that day that I was doing this, which was last Saturday. I think I started and had to rip out four other hats before I finally got it working right. And I'm not talking like, oh, I just started this and I'm like five or six rounds in and it messes up. No, we're talking like we're almost done. And this thing messes up royally. And there's nothing for it but to get it off the machine and rip it all out. And there was one skein of yarn that I ripped out so many times that I actually ended up having to throw away. And, you know, that did not make me happy. It just was a total mess at that point. So I just gave up on that yarn. But I ended up getting three hats out of the whole project that day. It did take me quite a long time to get those three hats done. So the first one, like I said, was a hat for my sister-in-law using the online DK weight sock yarn and the Loops and Threads Flex. And I did have to figure out how to make the contrasting brim color go on the knitting machine, because I'd never done that before. So that was an interesting process to learn as well. I knit up a double thick hat for my brother-in-law, so my sister-in-law's husband, out of Knit Picks Wool of the Andes in the current colorway. And I used two skeins exactly for this hat. And I just have to say, this hat turned out the best out of all the ones I did that day. Just so you know, if you have a Centro knitting machine with the 48 pegs, the Wool of the Andes worsted weight is literally a dream to work with on this machine. The stitches and the rows come out even. There isn't all this weird, I don't know. Sometimes on the Centro knitting machine, you get some rows that look as if they're almost knit bias to the rest of the hat. And you're not sure why, except for maybe the way you were cranking it was different. it's the only thing I can think of, or maybe the way you were holding the tension on it came out was different. I just don't know. But the Wool of the Andes came out literally perfect. It's just absolutely gorgeous. That's my favorite hat of the day. But then one of my experiments that day was I had some leftover, or I had ripped out a skein of Neuro Silk Garden in the, from, it's a very old skein of mine. I think it's the World of Nature kind of collection. And obviously you guys know that for Noro, which is made up in Japan, 90% of the ball band you can't read because it's all written in Japanese. So I just know that the colorway is S184. It's technically a single ply fingering weight. It is a silk Noro. And I have heard of people knitting socks out of this, which does work well because it has such good silk content. Let's see if I can figure out how much. 70% wool and 30% nylon. So, okay, this isn't the silk garden one. Huh. Well, then, I actually don't know what line this is from. But it's a miracle I even still have the ball band, right? I mean, this is like at least a 12 years old skein of yarn that was being knit up in a different blanket project that I just ripped out when I went through all my projects to start off the year. But I got me thinking when I had the knitting machine out, I wondered how the machine would handle holding two strands of fingering weight, double, obviously, to knit up a hat. So I gave it a try. I made two cakes from the one skein of Neuro, which came out to 52 grams per skein or cake, and I held it double and I just went to town. I did have to go super ridiculously slow on this hat because the machine did not like picking up two strands of yarn. And I did get, I think, 144 rounds out of the machine before I ran out of yarn. By the way, I don't have enough yarn of any of these to make a pom-pom to go on the top, so none of these have pom-poms either. Okay, so what was I saying here? So I finished the hat, the Noro mystery yarn, held double hat, and I got it off the knitting machine, and I just felt, I looked at it and I was just like, wow, that is super airy, even doubled up. It just looked really super loose and kind of, I mean, it looks Rastafarian, honestly, or very hippie-ish, and it was pretty cute, but it was just too loosey-goosey. It didn't have any structure to my way of thinking. And so after I soaked it, I put it through the spin cycle on my washing machine, which I absolutely love that my new washing machine has a true to form spin cycle. It doesn't add any water at all during the spin cycle. It literally just spins round and round for 16 minutes, getting as much water out of whatever is in there as possible. Love it. And so after I took it out of the spin cycle, I looked at it and I was still not happy. So I thought, you know what? Let's put it through the dryer for a little bit. So I did. I put it in the dryer on medium for about 16 minutes, I think, or maybe it was 20. Not sure. And it did come out smaller. It had shrunk a little bit and did tighten up a smidge, but not too much. And like it still looked pretty loose. But it does look really good on. Oh, I gotta say. I shouldn't say really good. I should say it looks really fun when you put it on. Like it's a fun hat to wear. The other thing I didn't like about this hat in particular is that all my stitches look like they were knit on the bias. Like, I don't know if because I re-caked the yarn, the twist came out weird when I was putting it onto the knitting machine or what, but it just looks like all my stitches are kind of on the bias, and of course it wasn't knit on the bias, it just looks that way. So there you go. But those are my three finished hats from the knitting machine as well. And I have all of those listed on Ravelry with how many rounds I did. But that's pretty much it as far as notes. I just told you what yarn I used and how many rounds I did. you know, for each of the hats. Next for FOs. So if you're counting at this point, we are at four. Are we at four? Yes, we're at four out of the eight. The next thing I did was I knit up two pairs of the cutest baby socks. I just love them so much. I'm holding a pair in my hands right now. I just can't stop. Oh, I just love them. I used the Itty Bitty Teeny Weeny sock pattern from Tracy Henwood, which is free on Ravelry, which technically it's not even on Ravelry. It's a link to her... Wait, is this the one that's a link to her blog post? I think it is. Yeah, it's a link to her blog post. There's only a handful of us, a very small handful of us, that at least have recorded that we've knit using her pattern on Ravelry. And I'm surprised by that because it's a super good pattern. It's more like written out as a recipe, but if you know how to knit socks, you're good to go. So, my only concern was when I needed to knit baby socks. I think I knit a pair of baby socks, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago, but that was the last time. And so I didn't trust myself to get the numbers correct for casting on and everything. But I knit these out of... Loops and Thread Perfect Pair skein of yarn in the River colorway. And I'm surprised. I really like this yarn. It is, has a makeup of, 70% acrylic, 23% viscose from bamboo, and 7% polyester. And I've never knit up any socks at all out of anything other than fingering weight that has a makeup of probably a superwash with nylon combination, or, you know, natural wool and nylon combination. I've never used a skein of yarn that was 100% processed yarn. And I mainly have done that out of principle, because I prefer to use yarn that is not overly processed. However, my sentiments or my thoughts have changed a bit as, you know, I've been working on things for my son. And it's mainly because, I'll just be honest, when he comes, I'm not feeling like I'm going to have the time or the energy to hand wash 100% of his hand knits. I just don't feel like I'm going to have it. So I have a few skeins of yarn that I've either gotten from this past Black Friday sale or over the years that I've never used, and so I've broken those out. And I've knit, like I said, now two pairs of socks for my little baby boy. So that is two from the six pairs of socks that I want to have done, so I've got four pairs left to go. And I really love this yarn. In fact, I'm actually thinking about knitting Mr. Radio a pair of socks out of this yarn, because I think he'd really appreciate some hand-knit socks that he can just throw in the washer, and he doesn't have to wait for me to find the time and the energy to hand-wash the socks for him, because he does like to wear them a lot, and I don't get around to washing the hand-knit socks a lot. I really like, really, really like this yarn, so... I really highly suggest it. And I also really like the pattern. The heel on these is a garter stitch heel with short rows. And to my way of thinking, that's perfect, because baby Hoyer is obviously not going to be walking, so he doesn't need sturdy heels. And I really like the contrast that the garter stitch gives to the ribbing and then the stocking knit for the foot. And I really like the cushiness of it, and I think it'll feel really good on him. So, you know, it's all around a good deal. Also, it took me about 3 hours to knit one pair. So, 6 hours to knit both pairs. The next project I have done is the Anchors Onesie by Petite Knit. Now, you guys obviously remember this one. I've been knitting on it since the opening ceremonies for the Olympic Games. And I finished it. I did have to... Oh, wait. First, the stats. I knit this using on the colorway Christmas Confetti by Lucky Dog Yarn, and it is so cute, although Mr. Radio still thinks it looks like clown barf. And I told him he'll be singing a different tune when it's on the baby. And I knit these using US size 2 needles and one skein of yarn. So let's talk about that. So the pattern says, for a newborn, you only need one skein of fingering weight yarn. Now, my Christmas Confetti colorway had over 460 yards in the skein, which is a pretty hefty amount for a fingering weight skein of yarn. So I thought I'd be good. Turns out I wasn't. By the time I had finished the first leg of this, so I had knit the body, I had put on waist yarn the stitches for the arms and one of the legs, and I knit up the other leg. And by the time I was done with the first leg, I was measuring everything out, and I realized I wasn't going to have enough yarn to knit the second leg and the two arms. So, and plus I also realized that my row gauge was really off from knitting in the round for the leg versus knitting flat for the entire body as I did. So I had to recalculate how I did the legs, because also the legs were just very voluminous because I didn't get as many decreases into the legs as the pattern suggested because, again, my row gauge was off. So I recalculated what I needed to do, ripped back to the very beginning of the first leg, and knit according to my calculations. And the first leg took 7 grams of yarn to knit up, and so did the second leg. And each arm took, and I had exactly 17 grams of yarn left. So again, when I got to the arms, I just knew I wasn't going to have enough yarn left, yarn to knit both arms, so I recalculated on the arms as well and wrote up new instructions for them and went to town, and I have half a yard left of the Christmas Confetti colorway from knitting this entire thing. So I used 461 and a half yards to knit a onesie for a newborn baby. And I am very happy with it. I think it looks gorgeous. So does Mr. Radio. The arms, you couldn't tell that I knit the arms very differently than Petite Knit had instructions for. And so if you are interested in my additions or rewrites or whatever you want to call them for the arms and the legs, I did write them out very meticulously for my project page on Ravelry. Can you guys believe how on the ball I am being on my project pages right now? I mean, just wait, there's more coming, and I am seriously on the ball. Like, it is cray-cray, because I've never been this good at doing it. I don't know how long it will last, but for right now, I'm going strong, so take advantage of it. But I do highly recommend the Anchors onesie by Petite Knit. I have another pattern from her that is a romper pattern that I will be casting on, who knows, in the next couple days for the baby as well. And I can't wait to knit that for I was just going to call the baby Mr. Radio's baby. For little Jimmy. Can't wait to knit that. I am calling this a done project, even though I don't have buttons on. When I wrote up my show notes, I was picturing in my head that I would have like little green frogs as buttons for this, and I do need 8 buttons. But then when I went to Joann's this morning, they did not have any frogs. However, they had lots of other ridiculously cute buttons, and so I have to confess, I spent $50 on buttons this morning. And that's with coupons, my friends. I bought buttons that are foxes. I bought buttons that are sheep. I bought gnomes. And I bought dinosaurs of different colors and shapes. And I let Mr. Radio choose which set of buttons would go on the onesie. And he, of course, chose the dinosaurs. I knew he would, but you know, in my head, I was really hoping for either the sheep or the foxes, but I'm giving in. I'm letting him choose they're very cute. I mean, I honestly don't have any arguments at all about the dinosaurs. It's just that I really liked the foxes and the sheep, and I'm not really a dinosaur girl, but he's very much a dinosaur man. So, I mean, to the point that we have dinosaur figurines around the house. We've got a dinosaur plant pot. Yes, a dinosaur in the a plant pot in the shape of a dinosaur. Yep, we have that. So he just loves them. So I thought these would be perfect. I knew he would choose them. And also, I'm also kind of hoping that the mobile that I crochet up or knit up, I think it's going to be crocheted, will be dinosaurs as well, because I just think Mr. Radio will really, really like that for our baby. So we shall see on that one. Anyway, so that is our fifth finished object. Or is it? No, it's more than that. Yeah, because I'm on my last one. So that was the seventh one. So my last FO for the last 2 weeks is the Little Sprite Sweater Kit by Wool and Honey, and that I also purchased along with the Ziggy Baby Blanket Kit. I knit this sweater up in 2 days. But I am going to warn you, it's not because the pattern was so wonderfully written that it just flew off the needles. No. I really love the Weepaka yarn, and I knit this up in the Tree Frog colorway. The pattern is so sloppily written, I was so mad. For instance, it tells you that you're going to do a cable 6 back cable repeat throughout the pattern. But when they give you the instructions for the cable, for the cabling portion, the numbers don't equal 6, they equal 7, as far as like the number of stitches you cable. So of course I had to fix that. Then I had to fix, before I get into all the things that went wrong, let's just talk about the sweater itself, because it is gorgeous. I don't know when this came out, because it doesn't tell you. I do know you can find the pattern on Ravelry, but you can't download it on Ravelry. You have to still go to Wool and Honey Yarn Shop online to get it. The kit came with 2 skeins of the Weepaka yarn, and I used every single scrap. Each skein, again, has 95 yards. It's 50% washable wool and 50% baby alpaca, and is buttery soft. It's lovely. Anyway, so the sweater is super cute when you see it. It's got a mock turtleneck knit in 2x2 rib. It's got a little placket that's off-centered on the chest, which then leads into the cable that goes straight down the sweater, which that's the entire detailing of the sweater. That's all there is. And it just looks adorable. The problem was that this sweater pattern was so sloppily written up that I seriously doubt the people who wrote this pattern ever even knit the pattern once they wrote it up, had it test knit, or tech edited. None of it could have happened, because otherwise all of the mistakes that I found would have been fixed, because they were blatant. So that's the reason I got it done in 2 days, is because I was just so appalled at the poorly written pattern that I had to rewrite the entire pattern pretty much, except for the body of the sweater. The body of the sweater was totally fine. The rest of it wasn't. The arms were so off, like stupid off. And in fact, if you try to knit the arms according to what the pattern is written on here, you would have puffed sleeves, Marilla sleeves, if you will, from Anne of Green Gables. and it would look ridiculous. And you wouldn't have enough yarn, for that matter, because I used every single scrap of yarn for this. So, combine all of that. This pattern is only knit for newborn. However, my finished project, the yarn kind of grew a little bit. So, to my way of thinking, unless this little Jimmy comes out to be quite a turkey, I think he'll be able to wear this for at least the first 3 months of his life. But I did keep, again, very meticulous notes of all the changes and corrections I made. I have not contacted Wool and Honey to let them know of all of the ridiculously stupid and blatant mistakes that are in their pattern that they are selling kits to, and I purchased, so hello. I would really like your pattern to be on point and professionally done. I haven't written to them because, do you guys hear the anger that's still in my voice? Actually, it's not even anger. It's honestly just disgust. Because if you are going to have people purchase these things from you and not offer something for free, you better dang well have this ironed out and ready to go. That's my opinion. Yes, there can be mistakes along the way. And tiny little things that were missed. But when the entire pattern has to be rewritten by the purchaser, at that point, this is just highway robbery. And I would like to ask for my money back, to be truthful, for the entire kit. But I'm also not a B kind of a person, a B-I-T-H kind of a person. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to let them know how disappointed I am when the time is right. I'm not going to do it just yet. I need to cool down a little bit. But in the end, I'm going to say it one more time. It's a freaking cute sweater, and I cannot wait to see it on my little baby boy. Like, really like it. And it's actually got me thinking, these past two projects with all of the bigger modifications that I've had to make, and the fact that I've actually trusted myself to make these modifications, I think I can maybe come up with a sweater pattern, a simple one, mind you, for myself later on. And it's got me thinking that I want to knit some of Elizabeth Zimmerman's patterns, like the baby surprise jacket, which I've never let myself knit. Or the percentage, using the percentage system. I've always been too afraid. I've never thought that I could do that. I've always felt like I didn't have the technical knowledge to do those things. And now, this past 2 weeks, I have made major changes to things. And I feel pretty darn confident in myself at the moment. At least as far as, you know, redesigning baby knits. So, I'm gonna add the baby surprise jacket, definitely, to my list of things to make for baby. I'm not sure that I'm gonna do it for newborn size. I have to pull out my knitter's almanac, because I think that's where that pattern is, I think. And see, and reread that, because I haven't read the knitter's almanac in at least a decade. So it'd be nice to start breaking that out and reading it again. It'd be really nice, you know? But that, my friends, after 35 minutes, is on the shelf. My 8 finished projects, 6 of which you had never even heard of until now. I'm quite proud of the progress that I have made and really loving the act of finishing at the moment. It's super amazing. A time for Hygge. So my house is in chaos at the moment, and I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that or overly dramatic. We literally have paths through our living room, and there's construction obviously going on. There's lots of dust everywhere. And, you know, we have a really small, tiny condo. We have less than 700 square feet, which is actually not the smallest living space I've ever lived in. You know, my cabin down in Kenai was less than 300 square feet. And I lived with my six siblings and my two parents for a year when we traveled around the United States in our 32-foot long camper for a year. So I've lived in pretty small spaces, and I've lived in pretty cramped spaces. But what I don't manage well is when the spaces are not at least semi-organized. I know. I'm a messy person. I'm a creative person, and I am messy. But I do like that, for the most part, my things have a place where they go, and I can put them there. Right now, nothing has a place where they go. All of our furniture from the office space or storage unit is out in the living room. Those things that we haven't donated. And I am really surprised at all the stuff that I did donate. And I gave away my very beloved desk that is humongous, but I loved that desk. I got it for $5 at a garage sale, and it was really beaten up, and I refinished it. I had gotten it in 2018 when I moved home, and I absolutely loved that desk, and I did give it up because I know that that's not practical for our tiny space or for, you know, being able to now. The spare bedroom's going to be my office and the baby room. And so I can't take up 90% of the room with a huge desk. I need crib space. I want to have a rocker in there. I want to have space for him to roll around and play on the floor. So it's just, I needed to let it go. But as for right now, everything is crammed in the living room. You can't even see half of our TV in the living room because the furniture is in the way. And you can't see at all our fireplace because things are stacked up in front of it. And the coffee table has turned into my workstation, which is at once really fun and at the same time super uncomfortable. So, yeah. I either have to do what I'm doing now, which is lean forward in a very awkward position, which then puts pressure on my lungs, which makes me feel like I can't breathe when I'm talking, or I sit on the floor to get a better angle, and then my butt hurts from sitting on the floor. And so, you know, it's an interesting place to be. All that being said, this segment is about bringing Hygge into your life, which we all know is a combination of bringing a little bit of indulgence, but also peace and tranquility into your life. So today is mainly about that peace and tranquility. And so Mr. Radio and I, we made the determination that our room that we sleep in currently is going to be a sort of haven as we go through this remodeling period and this upheaval in our home. So we piled all the comfy blankets and pillows onto the bed, and we made the rule that we will not bring the construction equipment into that space, even though it's overrunning the rest of the household. We have multiple candles that we light every night when we retire to bed, which, to be honest, has been about 7:30 p.m. every night because I'm just too exhausted at the end of the day. And we try to refrain from talking about all the things going on when we are in that space, with the exception of talking about our emotions. And we've been talking a lot about our emotions, especially since Grandma died in that space. So, in the evening, after dinner, this is typically what we do. You know, Mr. Radio, Watson, and I, we all pile onto the bed, and either I read a book to us aloud, or Mr. Radio checks out his Twitter and Reddit feeds while I knit on projects and watch movies that bring comfort and laughter rather than suspense and fear. For instance, last night, we watched the two newest Jumanji movies, Oh, I'm going to sneeze one sec. Whew. I was able to stop the recording while I sneezed because my sneezes are not small or quiet. But just to break in here and say that that's another thing. Like, I feel like I've constantly got a stuffy nose. I'm constantly sneezing because of all the dust that we kick up from doing the construction. And yes, I dust every day right now. Ooh, little Jimmy's kicking. I dust every day, and yet I'm constantly feeling like I've got a stuffy nose and I need to sneeze because of all of that. So anyway, as I was saying, so last night we watched the two newest Jumanji movies, you know, the one that has Mr. Rock and, to be honest, I mean, The Rock, not Mr. Rock. To be honest, I don't know any of the other actors' names. I'm terrible at actors and singer-songwriter names. They just don't interest me. They don't make an impact in my life, so why am I going to have brain space to remember their names? The only reason I remember The Rock is because it's so incredibly simple, and that's not even his real name. Anyway, so, you know, we pile into bed, and we either read together, or Mr. Radio is checking out his online stuff, and I'm watching a movie and knitting, but all the while we're piled comfy and cuddling up with each other in all of our pillows with our blankets. And just like right now, Watson is usually laying curled up either between us, you know, in the teeny tiny space that he can dig out between Mr. Radio and I, or he's laying across one of our feet and just snoring away. And we're loving that because we create this safe haven in our space of chaos that's going on right now. And, you know, usually we end the night by Mr. Radio making us a plate of either apples and cheese or crackers and cheese, because we need to make sure that my glucose doesn't go too low as we sleep. So, you know, those two things. Cheese is super good at regulating your glucose level in your blood and keeping it pretty darn steady for a long period of time. It's awesome, at least for this body. But we do this because finding peace and solace when your world is in chaos can feel really daunting and honestly overwhelming. And it can feel as if the worries of the world just follow you no matter where you go. Right? Or even like, that's why a lot of people take drives. They want to go for a drive in their car. You know, they want to escape, right? But it's like, it's almost as if things follow you. And it's because we have to purposely and intentionally set aside those worries and cares from our mind and intentionally be in the moment and pursue comfort and peace. So it's not enough just to create the atmosphere. We have to buy into it mentally and emotionally. So I just want to encourage you to find and make a conscious effort to dedicate a place in your home that is removed from that's removed from all of the stress and chaos of the world. Both in the world in general, in your home, but also even your mental chaos or stress that may be going on. Those pressures that seem to follow you everywhere. Make that conscious effort to put them aside. Because we all need a place of solace and comfort and peace. And just on a little side note, I wonder if you guys can hear my little puppy dog who's been snoring through this entire segment. If you can, let me know, because I think it's super cute. Contemplation Corner. True silence is the rest of the mind, and is to the spirit what sleep is to the body, nourishment and refreshment. William Penn. Well, my friends, our time together has come to a close once again. Let me thank you for joining me today. I know today was a little less structured, a little more stream of consciousness than it was, you know, organized thought pattern, but like I said at the beginning, I'm on vacation, and thus I'm allowing myself free rein even in my podcasting life. So thank you for joining me, and remember, my friends, to knit what you love and love what you knit. Ta-ta for now.